Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finding victory over alcoholism and working on a whole bunch of other stuff. And my name's Jack.
Hi,
Jack. Hi. Nice to see all of you here tonight. The best place to be on a Wednesday night. I'm glad you could make it. We're going to resume back into our teaching series tonight. A couple of weeks ago, Ron taught us the lesson on moral, where we're in this stage of the teaching series where we're looking at, once again, we're in this action stage of doing, and we're getting prepared for our moral inventory, fearless and searching moral inventory. And that's the real meat of recovery, and I think it's required in our faith walk that we reveal these things to ourselves, that we reveal these things to God, even though he knows all already. But there's an important process in revealing these things to God, and of course then to someone else that we trust, or some ones that we trust, and that's what this ministry and our small groups and all that allow us to do. And so we're spending the next 2 weeks, so we're going to have a little bit of a change in our normal testimony, teaching routine, because this lesson is broken into two parts, spiritual inventory one, spiritual inventory two. I like to combine them and teach them back to back just so we have some continuity, get on a roll here, and just kind of keep us in the mindset of this spiritual inventory piece. And so next week, I'll be back up here, and I hope you're back out there as we look at the second part of this. So we're going to be looking at four areas of our lives tonight, and this is kind of a hands-on teaching as well as next week. And so I'd encourage you, if you don't have one of the service folders or one of the area to take notes, did you grab one of those from a vacant seat around you? There's pens that are coming around. I think Scott's got pens coming around if you don't have. So I'm going to encourage you to jot at least one or two things down tonight that I want you to really start thinking about. Now, if you've done a full moral inventory before, that's awesome. I've done a number of them myself, but we'll get a lesson later on in the teaching series where we talk about daily inventories, where this is a consistent process that we go through. But many times people are looking for resources, and how do I start this moral inventory process, or how do I continue on in this inventory process? And so tonight and next week we'll give you some areas of your life, some broad areas, and I'll kind of break those down into some specific questions that I have for you tonight that you can at least get a start on. Because sometimes we can get into blind spots in all aspects of our lives. And if they're a true blind spot, of course, we don't recognize them. That's why we have accountability partners. We talked about in a few lessons, Amy taught on sponsorship, and we talked about sponsors and accountability partners. And if you don't have a sponsor or you don't have a set of accountability partners, you need to do that. And typically, accountability partners are easier to find because they're people that are kind of on the same walk as you. They can be just as messed up as you. They can have just as many days sober or not as you, or still be engaging in all sorts of crazy stuff because you haven't quite got that to that point yet. And they can walk, you guys can walk together and support one another and understand one another. Sponsor, a little harder to find, at least in CR program. It's going to be someone that has a year of victory over their particular primary area of hurt or habit or hang up. So in my case, it would be a year of sobriety from alcohol, which I have many years ago. And someone who's a little farther down the path that you're looking for some guidance. So both these people or persons are integral in your recovery walk, and I encourage you to start establishing those. But start with that accountability team. Remember, I always say you need to be asked to be an accountability partner. And that goes for those. In other words, you need to ask people to hold you to account. But as an accountability person, don't just rush right in and say, I'm going to hold you accountable, because that doesn't tend to go over too well in many aspects of our lives. So I ask us all to be open to being held to account, but also that we ask someone to do that or others to do that. And that may be a reciprocal relationship, it may not be, but just get in the habit of doing that. Because we want to locate those blind spots as often as we can. And so this exercise to this week and next week is to maybe help you identify, perhaps put some light onto those blind spots. And so just as when we're driving, and if you're driving properly and you're checking the blind, I happen to have a car with a massive blind spot, so this is an area that's close to my heart. One of the reasons my daughters don't get to drive my car because it's got this, you know, massive blind spot. I don't think you can see anything. You've got to crane and get out of the car while you're driving and check and all that. But you've got to check it, okay? And if I don't check that blind spot, then inevitably somebody is in there. I'm not seeing something that I should. And so we do that in this process. And as I say, if it's a true blind spot, you can be completely oblivious to that. And that's why you have those accountability teams. I remember going into Columbia River Correctional Facility to take the STEP study, our STEP study program, into the prison. And we got to kind of this point in the study talking about inventories, and I was talking with one of the inmates, or I think they're called adults in custody now, and we're talking about inventory, and he looked at me and he said, I don't think I've got anything to put down on my inventory, you know? I just can't think of anything. And so, once again, blind spot for him, because I simply said, well, how about let's start with why you're in prison? Let's go with that, okay? Maybe we can find something there that you need to work on, okay? And then once again, because that was his life, his lifestyle, he wasn't even thinking, oh, yeah, that's kind of, so that's what an accountability or an outside person. So tonight I'm going to be giving you tips on checking your own blind spot like you do when you drive, but I encourage you, they're called blind spots for a reason, because we're not going to see all of them. And so you need to surround yourself with others that can help with that, okay? So the guiding principle we have for this lesson is principle number 4. And principle number 4 says to openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Those three things, those three entities. And happy are the pure in heart is the beatitude that undergirds that. Because as we do that, we begin the purification process. As we get this stuff out, stop fooling ourselves, talk to somebody else or somebody's else's, multiple people in many cases, and of course to God through prayer and confession. That's part of the deal here. Step 4 is the step that corresponds to this lesson, says we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. So this idea of introspection, but then also not just keeping, this is not just an internal thing. We're going to share this with God. We're going to share this eventually with some other person. And I'll talk about at the back end of my teaching tonight, the opportunity for you to share it with others. And that can be frightening, especially if it's your first night here. We're not talking to you. I'm not talking to you right now because there's some steps to go through. But some of you have been walking this walk for a while. And if you're like me, I can't not tell people about the transformation that Jesus has made in my life. I can't keep it in. And you might be that way, and I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to think about doing that. And I'll mention, as they say, at the back end of my teaching tonight. So we're going to be looking at 4 areas tonight that we're going to focus on. I'm going to give you some sub-areas, and you've got those 4 areas listed in your handout there. So I'm going to give you the 4 fill-ins first, and then we're going to go back and kind of flesh those out. So you see in your handout there, it says relationship with and then blank, and that should be others. Relationship with others is one area that we're going to look at as a source for where are some areas that I may need some work on. We're going to talk about your priorities in life, priorities in your life. We're going to talk about your attitude, and we're going to talk about your integrity. So those are the 4 broad areas that we're going to look for, areas for improvement. And Ron mentioned probably last week or 2 weeks ago in the moral lesson, we talk about when we do this inventory, it is important to keep it balanced. It is important to remember that it's not all bad. And so that you have many positive traits, you just might have to dig down and get those because you've beaten yourself up for so long, okay? Remember, that's not how the Lord sees you, and you need to start looking at yourself as your true identity and what are the positives that true identity as a child of God that you bring to the table. But we are going to focus tonight, and as we go through this week and next week, we're going to be looking at what's the dirt? What are the stuff that we need to start cleaning up and cleaning out? Okay, because we need to be pure in heart, and we've got to get that stuff out out of our own denial selves, out to God, verbally, in prayer, as I say, in confession, and then sharing that with somebody else. And so that's so we're going to kind of look at kind of the negatives tonight. So when we look at the area of relationship with others, and what I would ask, I guess, because there'll be four more next week, okay? So don't save this until next week, but I'll give you the opportunity. I would be pleased if you would sincerely commit to taking one of the four tonight and one of the four next week. That's like the minimum requirement, let's say. And really diving into that question, whatever it is, and looking at what is an area. And hopefully, God is, as we go through this lesson tonight, God is going to put on your heart which one of the four, and you might already know, when I was reading them off, you might have said, oh, I can't believe he said that word tonight. I can't believe he said the relationship word, or I can't believe he said integrity, because God's been putting some stuff on your heart already. And that's, you know, he kind of does that. He knew you were going to be here at this moment in time, so why wouldn't he prepare you for that? But take a look at one of these areas and really kind of go commit to going in deeper throughout the week. And then do the same thing next week. So in the area of relationship with others, these are some of the things that you may want to ask yourself, okay? Because you might say that, you might be a person that says, okay, relationship with others, good. I love everybody, everybody loves me. Okay, that may be true. But ask yourself some of these questions. Has anybody hurt you? Has anybody hurt you? That might be an area that you need to explore. If the answer is yes, do you have a grudge or are holding grudges against somebody? Okay, this is unhealthy. Grudge does nothing to us. If you're gonna, you can nurse the grudge, but it's not gonna get better. Okay, it's just gonna kind of fester. Are you seeking revenge against anybody? Even if it's just one of those little kind of white lie revenges, you know, nothing major. You're not going to have to blow up their house or something like that. You're just talking, just a little poke. Okay? Is that in your heart? Because remember, it's not, as we've talked about sin before, it's not this scale or degree. All sin is offensive to God. I've said it before. We've never committed a small sin because we've never offended a small God. So is revenge, is that in you? How about jealousy? Are you jealous of someone? Do you have a tendency to justify your bad attitude by saying it's somebody else's fault? Somebody made you feel this way? Is that a pattern that you, as you really are honest with yourself, and as we talk about the things that we can control, the things we can't control, the wisdom to know the difference, you know, serenity prayer, can they make you, or are you just using that as an excuse to blame them? And how about we bring it full circle from my first question, who have you hurt? Have you hurt anybody? So any one of those sub-areas in relationships, maybe to start digging into, you may have done, as I say, a full inventory before and have covered some of this, but is there something new? Is there something that's unresolved? Is there some area that you thought... I've shared with you before, I have a forgiveness issue with my sister-in-law. I was able to finally forgive her from the heart, but I have a feeling I'm going to have to revisit that forgiveness from time to time, because I don't think it's once and done, knowing me and how I have a tendency to slide back down the road of, I take that back, you know, type thing. So relationship with others. As we look at our next major section, the priorities in your life. Actually, I'll throw another one in for relationship. Do you gossip about people? You find yourself doing that, talking about people? That's one. If you're just clean on everything else, you might have fallen into that one. So just be careful of that. So priorities in life. We talk about in our walk that we need to make God the priority. Matthew 6:33 says, if we make God number one our priority, he will give to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to, okay? The glory of God should be first and foremost in our minds, and yet how many times do we let everything else in our day get in the way of the glory of God? So just looking at where are your priorities and perspectives. After you've made the decision, and if you have made the decision to turn your life and your will, which is an ongoing thing, over to the care of Christ, as we talked about in the second step, what areas of your life are you still not putting God first? What areas do you either have it under control or just don't invite him in? What in your past is interfering with you doing God's will? What in your past may be interfering? Maybe you have issues you have not taken to God because you're ashamed. You've got a wrong mindset about what Jesus did on the cross and how God looks at you. And that's holding you back. It's putting a barrier between you and the Father. What are your priorities, or what have been your priorities in your job, in your friendships, in your personal goals? Do you bring God into those things? I was just having a discussion with a group of guys earlier today as we were talking about this same topic, and how it's very easy for me and for these men in our work life to not bring God in to the day, not start my work day by saying, God, how do you want this? I mean, I know the things I need to do, and I've got my tasks and responsibilities and my job description and all that stuff. I get that. We have those things that need to be done. But how many opportunities in a day do I have to ask God into my work day? Okay. And so maybe you have that opportunity too, and we just don't do it. Who do your priorities affect? Do they affect just you, or are there other folks that your priorities are impacting? I found out one of these little stupid priorities. I'm one of these guys who likes to get on the road for a road trip and get there. And you don't get to stop for the bathroom or the food unless it's a long trip. Okay, we're going to get there. Okay, getting there is fun. It's half the fun, and it's half the time if we don't stop for the bathroom every 5 seconds. Okay, I found out that. So this is just me being me. You know, I'm not have any malintent. So I find out from my daughters, and one's 18, one's 21 now. We're having this discussion. They're talking about me being hard to live with. Well, that's a hoot. Two teen daughters, and I'm hard to live with. Anywho, but they're talking about. They would get incredibly nervous when a road trip would be coming up, because they knew I would be, let's get in the car, let's do this. And I was just, once again, being me. My priority is, let's get in the car, let's get there, and then we can enjoy grandma, because we can actually get to grandma's instead of the bathroom, you know. Well, this just something as innocuous as that left an impression on these girls, where there was like, oh, dad's going to get all worked up, you know, and everything. And so just little things like that, how our priorities can affect others. So kind of think about that. That was an eye opener for me. I was like, oh man, I'm bad father. Now I just went worse, and who knows? I'm just hopeless. What is good about your priorities? Here, we finally got some positives. That's good. But also, what's wrong about them? So who does it affect? What is good about the priorities that you put in life? We did get to spend more time with grandma. Okay. But. The bad part was, is I put getting there and all that type, instead of having a comfortable adventure, you know, for everybody in the family, that type of thing. All right, let's talk about your attitude, the fourth area. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults, no more hateful feelings of any sort. In other words, we need to have that attitude that reflects that we are celebrating our recovery, that we are celebrating. We, you know, in just a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate the risen Christ, and how that probably had the single biggest profound change on humankind in the history of the world. And so think about reflecting that in your attitude, in your life. And so how are you doing in the area of attitude? What areas of your life are you ungrateful? A lot of times that bad attitude, whatever you want to put that under, And me comes out because I'm just not being grateful for what I, for all that God has blessed me with, all that has come from God. In fact, tonight I was having a meeting with our team, and one of my prayers was that I would just, because I'm kind of stressed right now, I got a lot of things going on, feeling, you know, being pulled in a number of different directions. And I know that God has blessed me in so many ways, and yet I'm walking around like, that doesn't matter, you know, kind of thing. And that's going to start creeping into my attitude if I'm not careful. So just, are you grateful for what God has given you, for what God has done for you? Everything from dying on the cross to air conditioning in your car, whatever it might be. What in your past is still causing you fear and anxiety? You know, fear and anxiety are just killers. In 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so fear can put a block up against that love that the Father is extending us, that Jesus is extending to us. So anything in your past that's causing you fear or anxiety, and then how does that play out in your relationship with God, in your relationship with yourself, and in your relationship with others? And then finally, we look at the fourth major category tonight, integrity, your integrity. And that's a big one for me when I came into this ministry about 9 years ago. I had fake integrity. I had pretend integrity. I'm going to pretend that I'm a guy with integrity. I want you to think of me as somebody who has integrity, and I'm going to say the right things and do the right things. But I did not. I was a liar. I engaged in deceit of all type. I was a thief. I was a drunk. I was any number of things. And so that has been one of the things that's been most interesting about my transformation, is having a conscience. And I got to tell you, it drives me nuts sometimes to do the right thing. I don't like that. I'm not built that way. I'm built to cut the corners. I'm built to get my way regardless. And then to do the right thing? Oh. But I'm working on that. I'm getting better at that. So let's talk about in the past. In past dealings, have you been dishonest? Is that something that, as you're kind of digging down, and this might be more advanced as we start to, that's to say, when I introduced myself, I got here because of alcohol. The reason I walked through those doors is because I'm an alcoholic. The reason I'm still here 9 years later is because I can be dishonest. I can lie just like that. What the heck? What happened? I can lust just like that. I can judge just like that. So in your past dealings, you've been dishonest. How about, have you been like me? Have you stolen things? Are you still doing that? Whether that's time from your employer, whether that's physical stuff, from other people. These are things that we use to kind of build our inventory that eventually, when the time is right, if the time is right, amends are made, things like that. But we need to get them out first. We need to kind of look at how we have to do this. I think I've shared before with this group, I stole from the food bank, the Oregon Food Bank. I was a fundraiser for the food bank at a food drive at an employer I worked at. And I just skimmed off the profits, you see, collected the money, took some for Jack, because you need to feed the liquor habit, you know, that costs money. And why should I use my own money when I could use the food bank money? That seemed to make sense, you see? See, that's how quality a guy I am. But I would make you think I had integrity because I was volunteering for the food bank, you see. So that was one of those things, believe it or not, that I didn't give a second thought to. And years into my recovery, didn't give a second thought to. And then all of a sudden, it hit me, especially when it hit me when I had to drive by the food bank on the way to Columbia River Correctional to do the step study. And all of a sudden, God said, you owe them an amends. And that amends needs to come in the form of some cash. And so I popped in there and wrote them a check. Delayed amends, you know, monetary amends. But once again, because of looking at that, literally blind spot, would never have thought about that because I've stolen all sorts of stuff. And yet by examining this and all of a sudden letting God come in and him convicting me and saying, that's something you need to do. And that's not something Jack does. There's just no way. That's God in Jack. Have you exaggerated yourself to make yourself look better? The little thing, and sometimes this can be a big time. I mean, I was just sharing with you how I did that. But what's driving that? Why do you feel the need to exaggerate your skills or where you've been or this story or that story? So think about that. Is that really you accepting who you are and who God created you to be and trying to live that way? Do you ever use false humility? And if you pretended to live one way in front of your CR friends or your Christian friends, and then you do and live another way or say or speak or whatever, different ways when you're not here, not in church, okay? And I realize we all have kind of different sub-personas that we act differently around the ladies when we're on ladies' night or the guys when we're out playing poker or something like that or on the golf course versus when we're in church versus when we're in a kid's classroom if we have to. I understand, but I'm talking about really, are you trying to fool people into believing that you are someone that you are not? And so just think about that. So those are the four big areas: relationship with others, our priorities in life, our integrity, which we just got done talking about, and I had it here somewhere. You guys have it in front of you. Your attitude, sorry. And then some of those sub areas. So hopefully you were able to find one, and if you're being honest with yourself, probably you could fit something into each of those four that you are needing to work on or God has been putting on your heart. But don't get overwhelmed. You're not going to attack all of this. This is a process. This is a walk with Christ. This is a recovery walk. That's why we ask you to keep coming back, not because we need bodies in the seats, but because this is a process. It needs to be, you know, regular and ongoing. But dive in this week. Really, you know, pray about this. Pray about those any notes that you jotted down, and start thinking about what needs to happen to restore that relationship, or restore that attitude of gratitude, or to live with integrity. That was the biggest difference in recovery. One of the biggest differences, I stopped trying to make you think that I had integrity and just started living with integrity. And it was odd how people started to notice. People started to say things about that never did before, even though I was trying to tell them, I have integrity, darn it. How come you don't acknowledge that? Well, because they could see it. I didn't live it. So think about those things.